Let's praise the Lord. The reading today is taken from Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 14. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Amen. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless us as we meet together as a family, as we seek to serve you in our church. As this new season begins, we pray for your continued blessings and guidance for Neil, session, committee, leaders, and all our organizations. Help us set aside all that hinders us as we meet, not in our own strength, but in the knowledge that God's Spirit abides within us. We worship the one true God, creator of all, Lord of all, our strength and hope, our light and our salvation. Lord, we pray for the refugee crisis, that the desperate may find new hope, that lives torn apart be restored and renewed. For those whose lives are affected by storms and flooding, grant them perseverance and courage to face the future and be to them a firm foundation on which to build their lives. With international unrest in the Middle East, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, that we can have peace among nations, peace in our dwellings, and peace in our hearts. Heavenly Father, bless the singing of your praise, the reading of your word, the sharing of our fellowship, the prayers that will be heard, and Father, be with Scott as he shares your word with us this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we all doing? I'm not going to introduce myself. I think I'm 7 years late. I should hopefully be beyond that. But for those who are new here, maybe do not know me, I am Scott, and I lead worship here down at Clockey and here in Grey Abbey. And today we're just going to get straight into it. We're going to go straight in, and we're going to read our reading for today, which is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. That's found on page 1227. And the word of the Lord says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Your word is a gift to us. It can help us answer questions, Lord. It can guide us through our own lives. But most of all, and most importantly, it teaches us more about you. May today, may this service be a service of learning more about you, hearing about you, accepting you, following you, and loving you. Lord, we dedicate this time to you. Amen. So can I ask all the young people of the church to come up to the very front, please, if that's okay? All the young people. And then Alex is going to come up and give us our children's address for today. So if everyone wants to come on up.
I'm just going to start talking. Oh, there we go. Hello. So was anybody listening? Maybe some more coming. Was anybody listening when Scott was reading out that passage? Maybe. Maybe not. What was he talking about? There was one word, and it was actually mentioned 25 times. So you might have heard it at least once. Yeah. Love. Brilliant. So that was all about love. And the word love is mentioned 25 times. So God is really trying to teach us about love. Hello. So I'm going to kind of tell you a bit about love, but I'm going to do it using Skittles. Isn't that the best? When you use sweets, normally it just makes everything so much better. So, yes. So first of all, it says that we can love because God loved us first. Wait, you can help me one more second. So because God loved us first, but what did God do? It was the ultimate act of love. What did he do? He sent somebody to do what? Yeah, what did you know? Yeah, brilliant. So we sent a son on down to earth to then die on the cross for our sins. And that is the ultimate act of love that the world has probably ever seen and ever will see. And he did that because he loves all of us. So I want you to think of these Skittles like all of us, okay? So they're all different colors. Even the ones that are the same color, they're probably a different shape because all of us are different in the world. We're all different, but yet God loves all of us. And then, the water. So I want you to think of the water like God's love. Okay, so I'm going to pour some in the middle. Try not to spill it over the church. Okay. And then we're just going to wait a minute. So that is like the way that God loves all of us. It says in the Bible that God loves us all. It's not just like he picks like one half of the world and he says, oh, I love yous. He loves everybody and he died on the cross for everybody. And because of that, we are told that we are to love each other, that we are to share love with other people. And just so everyone upstairs probably can't see this, but all the colors are now starting to come out to the middle because we have made an action. So like love comes into us, then there's an action and that action is for us to love other people. Just like all these colors are coming together and they all look so beautiful and it makes the plate so much like prettier, doesn't it? It looks so pretty now with all the colors and the world is so much better when we love each other. And in school, that can be just wee things like helping somebody's maybe struggling, saying nice things to people when maybe other people aren't saying nice things. You can be that one person who says nice things and maybe listening to your parents when they tell you to tidy your room for the 10th time in a day. I don't do that. But you should do that because that's a way of showing love to your family, showing love to your parents, and showing love to each other. So doesn't that look really cool? So next time you have a Skittle, I want just to think about love. Think of God's love and what ways you can show God's love. And that's just a wee challenge for you this week. I just want you to think of what ways you can show love to other people so that the world can be more of a beautiful place and that you can honor God when you're doing that. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. So we're going to be going back to our reading again. So if we'd like to open up our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, page 1227. And throughout the rest of the service, if you just say to keep your Bibles open in that, on that chapter, and we'll work through it as we go. The word of the Lord says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hears a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen. So I'm sure many people here have more than like, I know a few people are currently going through or have partook in a university degree. I have finished mine, and throughout my degree, I had the honor or the displeasure, I should say, of having to read many books. Some I skimmed through to get information. Some I used just to get a quote. Some books I would have read all of, and maybe some I would have just used to fill up my bibliography a wee bit. I've read a lot of books and wrote down a lot of quotes. And my issue is, I can barely remember most of them. There are sometimes in certain situations that something comes back to me, something jogs my memory. And you can't remember which book it's from, you can't remember who said it, or what year it's from, but you remember. And when researching and preparing for this, I remember one phrase that was used. Love is both the beginning and the goal of the Christian life. Love is both the beginning and the goal of the Christian life. Though it's not just limited to just the beginning and the end, but it is everything in between. Because in that simple word, love, it encompasses who God is. God is love. And isn't it incredible how many of the world's big questions today, when we're trying to find big technical answers and massive answers to these questions, how funny is it that a lot of these questions can be answered with one word? Love. It answers the question of creation. God's love for us created us. It answers the question of what makes a perfect relationship? A love for each other. And sometimes that love can be rejected. But is that love for each other? Love explains God's involvement in this world. Now, a God who is concerned with us, a God who cares for us, and cares about what happens in this world. Our God is not a passive God. Our God is an active God. He's currently working and always working throughout our lives. He cares deeply and wants to be involved with us. It explains God's redemption of our sins via his death on the cross. In John, in the famous verse of 3:16, it reminds us that God so loved the world. And yet, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Redemption demonstrates the fact God's love stays with us. And then it compels us to follow him, even if we've turned our back from him. Just as we would not abandon someone we truly love. If they had done wrong towards us and we truly loved them, if they were to return, we would accept them. Just as we don't stop loving him, God does not stop loving us, even if we turn away. He loves us. He loves us. Love explains this earthly life. Love explains life beyond this life. How incredible is it that our God has such a vast and deep love for us? Not only that he wants to be with us, but he wants to spend time with us after death. Time with us in eternity, once our life is over. Rather than growing tired and weary of our wrongdoings, as we would for normal people, he gives us a promise that not just of life, but of life after life, that he will love us and be with us. See, everything that matters, everything that truly matters, sin, life, life after death, death, is answered by love, God's love. We're coming to the conclusion, as it said in this passage, God is love. Not just one part of him, not just one part of him, but all of him. It expresses the totality of God, that he is love, and explains why he acts the way he does. And there are many of us here that know that. Many of us here have accepted that and recognized that. And then why is it that we're so quick to let other things interfere with this love that God has for us? The fact is, he loved us first, but we try to substitute it with other things. We have that gap in our lives that we try to fill. And that gap can only be filled by one thing and one thing only, and that is the love of God. And why we do it? It's not really a question that can be answered, one succinct answer, you know. There are too many variables, too many circumstances in people's lives that lead them to different situations and doing different things. But we all have the nature of sin in us. And we like to look elsewhere instead of looking at the place that we should be looking. So if we were to look at this verse, this passage, we see it clearly says that if we are to accept Jesus as the Son of God, then God is in us. I know through everyone's Christian life, we have experiences, scenarios that just stick out in our mind. Godly moments, incredible moments that if you are asked, that's the first thing that will come to your mind. And one, I have one, and it was about 2 years ago, sitting in the library at university, having some meaningless, deep theological conversation. And a guy said to me, and he started talking about, how God is in us. And he was so passionate, and he was so energetic, and he was so happy. And for me, that's when I realized, I have the Lord, the God, Abba Father, Yahweh, inside of me. The living God resides in me. The living God resides in you. Hallelujah. Times we may not feel him or think he's beside us, but he is in us. You know, I don't know how that makes you feel, and sometimes I forget about it. Sometimes I go through life not thinking about it because you just don't. But when I sit down and think it over, how incredible is it that we have living God inside of us? You fellow believers have God in your heart. There's another book that I've read by an author named Francis Chan entitled Crazy Love. And along with my normal book readings, I cannot really remember what the book was about. But the overall point of the book was that if we were to love God the way he wanted us to, if we were to completely give our all to him and act the way he wants us to the normal person we would seem absolutely bucked off crazy. This is because it is the opposite of how the world, it is the opposite of how society wants us to be. You see, people would not like to see someone so full of God because they would just be too different. They would just be different. And I would say that there's people in this church and many churches, if they had someone in their congregation so filled with the love of God, that we'd maybe look at them and go, feel a bit uncomfortable because he's just too different. Chan goes on to talk about our relationship with God and how sometimes we go on and try and find the minimum bottom line of faith. The minimum bottom line of faith. You know, it's something I've probably done in my life. I'm working alongside young people in different contexts. I've had these conversations and questions being asked like, is it okay if I do this? Will God still forgive me when I do this? How far can I go before it's deemed wrong? How far can I go before I'm not called a Christian? It's almost like we want to find that minimum bottom. We want to find the least amount of work we have to do to still be called a Christian. And when we figure out what that is, we then continue our lives at that steady, minimal pace. See, to have the focus of a conversation, and the focus being on how much I can get away with, is to have the focus wrong from the very, very beginning. The starting point is love. The starting point of love. It's like asking, how much damage can I do to my car and still maintain my car insurance policy? We want to do all these things of the world that maybe we've done in the past. We want to do them all, but we still want to have that assurance of going to heaven. Still want to maintain the love of God. The starting point is love. That's what a mature relationship is based on. Not a fear of punishment, as verse 18 says, but of love. And this love is there because the God who is with us, the God who is in our hearts, that God is love. Our goal is then to get to the point that the love of God fully inhabits our hearts, completely takes over us, fills every nook and cranny. You shall love the Lord your God of all your heart, of all your soul, of all your mind. And if we work towards that, if we try to fulfill that, which is going to be tough, there'll be times we mess up, but if we try to fulfill that, we are then compelled and instructed to go and then love our neighbor. See, we cannot truly love God and not be compelled then to love our neighbor. Verse 21 says. And then in verse 20, it says, anyone who says they hate their brothers and sisters does not love God. That's pretty blunt in my opinion. The commandment we have from him is those who love God must love his brothers and sisters. I've noticed from time to time, being in churches, it's all about the place, being in this church, preaching, not preaching, that people do not like being told what to do. You know, we shudder at the word should or must or has to. You know, we don't like being told what to do. I've sat in congregations, I've seen people and heard people tell me after, they're not like being told what to do by this person who's in the pulpit today. And who knows, you may be saying that about me in your heads right now. But what I'm telling you is not what I'm telling you to do. I'm just reading exactly what is said in the book. John tells it as it is. John tells it as it is. He says it blankly. There are no two ways about it. Those who love God must love his brother and sister. And simply to say, oh, I love God, this is not sufficient. It must be accompanied by those daily acts of showing God's love in our lives. No, those demonstrations are not what save us. Not at all. But it is a showing to others that the love of God, that God himself inhabits our hearts. There are many ways we can show God's love. It does not have to be extravagant, big ways. I've seen big, extravagant ways, and that's incredible. It can be the small ways, the little things. To put a smile on someone's face that makes them feel wanted or needed or loved. There are too many people in this world who do not feel wanted, needed, or loved. And we have a chance to change that. We have an opportunity to make that person feel loved, wanted, or needed. They can go out through the next day knowing that, next week, the next month, their life, knowing that there are people who love them. There are people that want them. They feel wanted and they are needed. Sometimes we just do not show enough love to people. Especially as Northern Irish people, we seem to be hardened to the word affection. Show affection and love to each other seems to be a tough thing for us to do. And unfortunately, we can far too easily come off of the phrase, I hate you. such a normal thing to say nowadays. I hate you. Sometimes it can be caught up in an argument, or it can be meaningful. You can actually mean it. Is that right of us? Is that right of us? I do not stand up here as someone above everyone else. I do not stand up here as someone who thinks they're better than you. Through the week, I contemplated what I was saying, but there are people in my life, I recognize in my life, that I would say I hate. Is that right? Is that right of us? How can we stand here as a people forgiven and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? How can we stand here and say we hate someone? How is it fair that we have received this everlasting and eternal love, and yet we go on as if no one else deserves it from us? And I know there are people who are probably in the same situation that I am, who feel the same way I do about certain people. Verse 10, it tells us, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. It didn't say he loved you, just you and only you. It says us, meaning all of us. Meaning that why is it okay for God to love all of us and for us to accept that love gladly, we will gladly accept that love, than for us to turn around and say we do not love one of our own? How is that okay? See in the parable of the Good Samaritan, when a Samaritan helps a robbed man. But upon finishing that parable, Jesus is asked, who is the neighbor to the robbed man? To which there is a reply, and it says, he who showed mercy on him. To which Jesus responded with four simple words. Go and do likewise. We must go and do likewise. We must go and love others. We must show the love of God. Or we do not truly know God. Sometimes we think we can know God, but that's not always the case. One of my all-time heroes, someone I've looked up to from a kid until his tragic death, was Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter. And I've watched every episode, I've read all of his books, I've watched that terrible movie he released multiple times. But say he was still alive now, and I was just to turn up at his doorstep and go, hi, Steve, can I come in? I know all about you. I've read all your books. I know every member of your family. I know your birthday, 22nd of February, 1962. Don't forget it. What will he say? He will turn away and he will go, I'm sorry, but I do not know you. See, there's a difference between knowing and truly knowing. That's how a relationship with God can be. Knowing or truly knowing. And if we are to truly know him, we are to realize what he has done for us. And verse 9, it tells us, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into this world that we might live through him, through his death. That is love. Parents, think about this. Imagine sending your child, one of your children or your only child, to die for people who do not know your child, to die for people who may never even like your child, but sending them anyway. Folks, that is what God done. That is love. That is true love. Truly know God is to truly know his love. To truly know his love is to love one another. Look to the person to your left, the person to your right. Can you say that you love them? Can you truly say that? You may be able to, which is great. Don't get me wrong. You may not be able to. We must show our love like God did, through actions. And we can do this by the small things. But what can we do in our context right now? We must show our love to the people in our church. Our two churches, both here in Grey Abbey and in Cloggy, have been going through a new season. I truly believe that ultimately this season is a blessing. I can see in both services, I can sit at the front and I can see all the faces of most people, except those people at the back. These don't exist. But I can see most of the faces of the people, and I'm seeing new faces, new people coming in. So I ask is, are you going to show your love to these people? The new people in this congregation right now? Or maybe the people who've been here for years and you just haven't spoken to? Or are you going to be that person who sits there and goes, well, Look what they're wearing to church today. Oof. Or there's so-and-so coming. Great. Excellent. Or they're old and boring. Lighten up. Goodness me. And the list could go on. How are you going to show your love to each other? How about talking to each other? How about talking to each other? We have a thing that I have now self-proclaimed the title of the Presbyterian seat radius. Don't forget it. Which is one in front, one to the left, one to the right. That's all we're going to talk to. And unfortunately, the person behind us has to speak to us, so we then have to turn around and speak to him. Get up, walk around, and talk to your family. Because that is what we are. We're not random strangers who come to this building every day or every week. We're not that. We are family. And we're to talk to each other. We're to create relationships with each other. And as I previously said, sometimes our love towards people can be rejected. But we need to do it anyway. Or even don't rush off after the service so you can get home for whatever reason. This is only an hour and a half out of your day. This is only an hour and a half out of your week. That's it. Stay. Drink tea, coffee, juice, water. And talk to the people around you. Show them love. And show them the love that you'd want to be shown to you. Can we stand here and call ourselves believers and yet not love anyone around us? Can we really come into this room week in and week out and not talk to anyone? Not creating relationships? If you are not showing love based on this passage, do you really know God? Do you really understand what he has done for you and what he is doing for you continuously? He loves us, and therefore we must love him and love each other. Verse 9, it talks about Jesus. Then verse 15, it tells us that if we believe Jesus is Son of God, he will be in our hearts. Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That he is in your heart, loving you daily? If you do not know that glorious news, it's never too late to change. If you want to be so filled with the love of God that you feel compelled to tell others about him and to show love to others, pray right now. Pray right now and ask him into your hearts, because there's not a time to do it. There's not a special place you have to be or special words you have to say. If you don't feel like doing that, come and chat with me. I'll explain what I mean. I'll explain more. Or come talk to our prayer team, who are about here somewhere. Put your hands up, prayer team. We've got people here at the back. There you go. They are here. They want you to talk to them. They want to help you through this journey. Because I tell you what, I look forward to today that we have a church full of people loving God. Imagine what's going to happen. If we have a church full of people loving God, a church full of people loving people. Imagine what will happen here in Grey Abbey. Imagine what will happen here in Clockie, on the Isles Peninsula, in this country, in this world, if people love God completely and love each other. Another writer, Jack Hyles, says, being loved is life's second greatest blessing. Being loved is life's second greatest blessing. But to love, that is the greatest blessing. Let's be so filled with the love of God. We want to love the others around us. Let us pray. You're our God of love, an incredible God of love. So we pray right now, Lord, that you fill our hearts with your love. And there's so much of it that we just have to pour it out to other people and love those around us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the people around us here today, Lord. Amen. May the love of God fill our hearts so that we may go out and love other people. Not just today, but in this week, in this month, and in our life. May we continue to love others like God has loved us. Amen.